Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I'm back. It's so good to be back in the USA. My family and I, we took a road trip vacation for the last 2 weeks. And when we take a vacation, it's usually a science vacation. We take our kids, homeschool kids, and we go to national parks, and we see a lot, we learn a lot, we talk to a lot of people. And this vacation was no different. And I've actually had requests, now this can be verified, to describe our vacation on the air, which is a killer for ratings normally. But you got to hear about this vacation. And what's happened since I've last been on the air, they had the JonBenet Ramsey murder solved, and then it's case open again, because it turns out John Mark Carr is simply a nutcase. And I haven't been on the air since that whole fiasco, that tragedy. And I'd like to say that if it turned out that the Boulder County DA had vetted his supposed confession and had determined he had been in Colorado, then we would have owed a big apology to the Boulder police and to the Ramseys for saying that the JonBenet Ramsey's murder was an inside job and that her parents were guilty. John and Patsy Ramsey were the ones who committed and covered up the crime. But if it turned out that his confession was phony, then, of course, our position stands. And later in the week, I'm going to give a rundown of the evidence that points to John and Patsy Ramsey as being the perpetrators of the crime. And so that will be interesting. Also, the tragic death of Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. You know, millions around the world will miss him. Whenever the few snippets of his shows, we never saw a whole show, but the few snippets, and I would just cringe at the danger. You know, he'd pick up a poisonous snake and hold it next to his face. And I'd say, kids, don't do that. Don't do that. That's a bad example of how to treat wildlife. Timothy Treadwell, remember him? Timothy Treadwell, grizzly people he founded that group, said that grizzly bears were nice, you know, cuddly, nice creatures. And he took his girlfriend on a trip to hang out with grizzly bears, and they were eaten by this one particular grizzly bear. So it's a sobering reminder that we need to be careful of these animals. God in the Bible says that men need to populate areas to make sure that they're not overrun by wild animals. And if you don't populate an area, then it'll be overrun by wild animals. Today, liberals say don't populate areas so that they can be overrun by wild animals. It's a little opposite. Okay. And by the way, this is September. Every September, we have our internet. This is once a year, we try to keep Bob and Yurt Live on the internet at kgov.com with our annual internet telethon. And so it's on. And if we reach our goal, we could end it early. But the goal is $15,000 to help us underwrite the cost of Bob and Yurt Live for the next year. And the way we do that, if somebody makes a pledge, now, if history is any example, we'll have a lot of people to thank by the time this is over, when we normally come very close or meet or exceed our goals of our telethons. And many people, of course, were so thankful. They give $20, $50, $100. Now and then, somebody gives $500 or $1,000. And if you're out there and you could help us kick off this telethon with a gift of $500 or $1,000, boy, that will be so much appreciated. And for those who could give monthly, here's what we do. If somebody could give, let's say, a $100 monthly donation, they just sign up to give once a month $100, then we count that times 10, and we add that to the telethon goal, what we've achieved so far. So if somebody signed up for a $50 monthly donation, then we'd put down $500 toward our goal of $15,000. So we really could use your help if at all possible. Our number is 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9898. 9278. Now, our vacation, it was a road trip with our three little boys, Cheryl and I. It's the highlight of our year when we take a week, or this time a two-week vacation. And we drove from Denver up north into Canada, of all places. And I feel like I have to apologize for going to such a liberal socialist country, but it really was tremendous. First, we went to Yellowstone, then the museum in Bozeman, Montana, where they have the T-Rex with the soft tissue. We went there, and I've got things I want to tell you about each of these. Glacier National Park, which was extraordinary, which spans the U.S. and into Canada and Montana, and then all through Canada. Got stories to tell you about the things and people we met in Canada, and the ferry rides, and then in Seattle. We ended up in Seattle, where I got to spend time with an atheist physicist, and that was a lot of fun. In fact, some of you might even know this guy. So let's begin with when we drove north from Denver into Wyoming and went through the Grand Tetons National Park and into Yellowstone, where we were listening to science tapes the whole way called The Adventures of Jonathan Park. And if you and your family haven't heard these tapes, they're for kids. Parents, you'll love them. And they're put out by Vision Forum. You could get them on the internet. And they come on CDs or tapes, and they're creation adventures. Two creationist families tell the stories of the parents and the kids and the grandparents and how they have a wonderful time learning about and defending creation. So that's what we're listening to as we're driving. And we're getting into Yellowstone, and I tell my kids about the petrified trees at Yellowstone, how there used to be a sign there that said that these petrified trees grew in forest on this massive hillside, and a forest would get wiped out after thousands of years, but one or two trees would be left standing, and they would eventually petrify. Then another forest would evolve in the same place, and that would happen a dozen times over, 20 times over, 30, 50 times over. We just got our first gift of $50 a month. Thank you very much, Kale. Wow, that blows my mind. Thank you so much. So I'll give the phone number out again. Boy, that was helpful. And that's $50 a month, so that's $500 toward our $15,000 goal. The phone number is 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Wow, thank you. Okay, so supposedly, at 50 different layers, they have some of these petrified trees. And the evolutionists had a sign up there that said this happened over millions of years. And forests would grow and get wiped out. One or two trees would be left remaining. And then, lo and behold, a new forest would evolve. And that's how all these petrified trees got there. And I told my kids, I said, kids, don't believe it, because the trees have no roots. You know, they're petrified so well, even the cellular structures are petrified, except there's no roots. Where are the roots? And none of the trees have branches. All the root systems are broken off 2 or 3 feet from the base of the tree, because those trees didn't grow there in successive forest. But those trees were destroyed, broken by some cataclysm, and transported there by water, and then they sunk. So anyway, we get to Yellowstone. Lo and behold, the petrified tree sign is gone. It's not there. And The Adventures of Jonathan Park, it was so neat. They talk about these trees at Yellowstone while we're there. And they're talking about these trees. They didn't grow there. It's not successive forest. They were transported there by a cataclysm like a flood. And they sunk just in the manner as has happened at Mount St. Helens, with trees floating on Spirit Lake there, and their roots are broken off because they were knocked over by the volcano, and then they sunk with the sediments on the bottom of the lake. And so that was one example of our kids learning firsthand of the creation arguments to disprove the claims of millions and billions of years of Earth history. Okay, so then we go up to Bozeman, Montana. And we're leaving Yellowstone on the way to Glacier National Park. And that's where MSU is, Montana State University. And they have their Museum of the Rockies, which is gorgeous. Fabulous paleontology department in the museum. And there they have the group that discovered the T-Rex a year ago with the soft tissue. It was really startling. The chief explorer in the field was Bob Harmon. And it turns out at the museum, I was able to meet briefly with Bob and another paleontology department employee and talk to them about this soft tissue and talk to our kids and said, kids, the evolutionists say that this dinosaur is 70 million years old. But when they found its bones, they were not fossilized. They were bone. They had not turned to rock, as most fossils do. And not only that, when they broke open the femur, there was soft tissue in it. There was blood vessels and cells. And those things wouldn't remain in sandstone in a cliff in Montana for 70 million years. They're not that old. So anyway, it turns out Bob Harmon discovered the T-Rex, and Mary Schweitzer in the lab discovered the soft tissue. And she is an evangelical Christian, but sadly, she's an evolutionist. So they are still working on that carcass. Should we call it a fossil or a carcass? They're still working on that carcass, on that T-Rex, and working to extract protein and even dinosaur DNA. And there are more fascinating finds that should be coming from that T-Rex. For example, if they're able to extract proteins and DNA, you know how geneticists, they look at DNA and they measure the rate at which mutations occur. And by doing that, they estimate, well, there was a mitochondrial Eve, the first mother of all human beings, who lived just less than 10,000 years ago. And when they look at the DNA of this dinosaur, hopefully they'll be able to extract it and learn a lot. And they might find out that some standard proteins that we find in different species are represented in the DNA of this dinosaur. And there's no evidence of 70 million years worth of mutations between the two groups. So that'll be fascinating. All right. So, and more went on there in Bozeman, Montana, with that soft tissue T-Rex. But for now, I'll leave it at that. But boy, it was fascinating. But expect updates in the future. Okay, now, we headed north through Montana to Glacier National Park, and we met with a wonderful homeschool family. We stayed with them for 2 days. The beautiful big log cabins up there. And this family, in fact, the dad of this family is the man who sent a letter to James Dobson. And if you recall, James Dobson responded personally to this letter from one of our listeners. And I want to describe briefly what that was about so you'll know the family I'm talking about. We on Bob and Yurt Live, we've pointed out that many of our Christian leaders have become legal positivists, that they have been defending judges who rule to kill the innocent. Even though they violate God's enduring command, do not murder, these judges will rule, for example, to keep legal partial birth abortion. And our Christian leaders will defend the judges and say that was a good ruling because it was consistent with the process. Now, that's called moral relativism. When a judge could rule to murder the innocent, even by partial birth abortion, which is brutal and viciously cruel, and a judge will rule to kill these late-term babies, and our Christian leaders will say, well, that's a good decision because the judge was following the process. That's moral relativism. A Christian leader should say, that's murder, and no process can justify killing the innocent. Well, we've been documenting how Christian leaders and Christian organizations, one after another, have become legal positivists. And so the dad of this homeschool family, he sent a letter directly to Dr. Dobson, which got through directly to James Dobson. And James Dobson responded personally on Focus on the Family letterhead, and at the bottom of the letter put a handwritten note, addendum. And in the letter, he defended the decision by judges to kill innocent children, specifically when Samuel Alito, as a federal judge in the year 2000, voted to keep legal partial birth abortion in New Jersey. That's what he did. Samuel Alito, a hero to the pro-life community, now on the U.S. Supreme Court, with the support of the pro-life community, voted many times on the side of the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood. But in the year 2000, he even voted to keep partial birth abortion legal, which was horrendous. And in this letter, James Dobson defended that decision to keep partial birth abortion legal. It was a good decision because it was consistent with the process. And that just devastated all of us. And that's called moral relativism. Dr. Dobson should be able to say, along with Gary Bauer and the AFA and Jay Sekulow and all our Christian leaders, D. James Kennedy, they should be able to say that decision was wrong because it violates do not murder. And we oppose that decision and the judge for rendering that decision. But our Christian leaders have turned the corner. They've lost their way. And now they've become legal positivists, and they say it's a good decision if it follows the process. So we've posted those letters on our website at kgov.com. And that's an example of the kinds of things we do here at Bob and Aaron Live to educate the Christian community as to the spiritual battle, what's happening in our world, and what are the actual conditions of the battle. And not deceiving ourselves into thinking we're winning, but to be sober-minded and realize what's going on. So if you want to read this dad, this homeschool dad's letter to James Dobson and Dr. Dobson's reply, you could just go to our website. I'm checking it out right now, kgov.com, and you'll see a link that says, here's our open letter to James Dobson. And this is a letter we published in the Colorado Springs Gazette newspaper, their main paper down at Focus on the Family, and a link that says, sadly, Focus on the Family now admits to their legal positivism. And it will devastate you when you read the words, and we've highlighted the key sections in yellow, and you'll see Dr. Dobson's handwritten note and signature. It's all rather sad. Okay, so that's the family in Glacier National Park for 2 days. And it was so wonderful because they brought with them one of their family relatives, a family from California. And we spent 2 days fellowshipping with this Christian homeschool family and sharing the evidence of creation with their relatives from California. I tell you, if you have 2 days to sit and fellowship and walk through a national park and show people the evidence for creation, it's powerful. And it was powerful. It was so exciting. And one of the discussions, of course, it doesn't all stay on creation. We talked about God and the nature of reality. And the wife of this family from California, she brought up a very sad thing, that her brother had drowned. And right away, our friends, this Christian homeschool family, they said, that was not God's will. It's not God's will that your brother would drown. And she was shocked because everything she had always heard was either, you know, from Christians or from whoever, is that it's God's will. And she had to process this. And she said, you know, I've never heard anybody say it's not God's will. Well, then why did it happen? Why? Because bad things happen. People make mistakes. People do things that are wrong. Because of sin, the world is breaking down, and it's a tragedy. God has given us freedom, and freedom means that good or bad things may occur. So, by the way, one of the young gals from Denver Bible Church, our church that I pastor in Arvada, Colorado, has ovarian cancer, And I was with her and her husband today in the hospital. And we did not pray for healing, but we continue to pray for wisdom and knowing how to respond to the challenges ahead, and for courage, and for her and her family to show their neighbors and friends and their relatives that they trust God even through a crisis, and don't expect God to be a magician or a butler and solve every problem. So she had a visit the day before from her previous pastor. And he had said to her when he saw her, you know, he was very kind to visit. And he said, well, you know that this is God's will. And she stopped him immediately. And she said, this is not God's will. That's not true. And I do not want anyone to tell my daughters that God gave their mother cancer, because it's just not true. That's a pretty neat mom, huh? Pretty neat, protecting her girls from the false teaching that when a child is molested, when a child is raped, God is the one who orchestrated the rape. That child pornography, God decides how long the video is going to be of a child being sodomized. No, that's not God. That's not God's plan. It's not God's will. God doesn't orchestrate it. He doesn't fund the porn industry. That's the war against God, a war between good and evil. And God is only on the side of good. God is not the author of evil. He didn't conceive evil. He didn't command it. God is not funding both sides, the homosexuals and the Christians. He's not funding the abortionists and the pro-lifers. He's not funding Al-Qaeda and the allies trying to defeat the terrorists. God is not psychotic. God is good, and there's a war between good and evil, and God is on the side of good. And God will win because he's God, and it is futile to war against God, but we're in the middle of this long war against God. And we should never blame God for perverse and filthy things that happen. And this mom was right. Like other diseases, cancer comes as the result of the fall. Since mankind has not been evolving, but devolving, genetically deteriorating, and becoming increasingly susceptible to carcinogens and all kinds of disease. So no, when a father gets killed by a drunk driver, it's a bad thing to tell his kids that this was God's will. Wow, Russell from Anchorage, Alaska, just donated $150. Thank you, Russell, for helping us with our telethon, our annual telethon to keep Bob and Yurt live on the internet at KGOV.com. Our goal is $15,000, and we just started this 23 minutes ago, and we now have $650 toward the goal of $15,000. So that's encouraging. Okay, thank you, Russell. Our phone number is, especially if you'd like to pledge, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, so we cross from Glacier National Park into Canada, and boy, is it beautiful. Kelowna, Vancouver, Victoria. You know, their economy seemed better to us than we had expected because they're so socialist and liberal, but there were new cars everywhere. However, the towns looked to Cheryl and me, they looked like American towns back in the 70s. That's what we noticed. The homes, you know, increasingly you drive around America, you see larger and larger homes, nicer architecture, but that changes, of course, from neighborhood to neighborhood. But it seemed to us, we drove 1,000 miles through British Columbia, that they looked like towns back in the 1970s. And so we're just tourists, so we didn't experience their liberal political system or their nationalized health care or their laws against broadcasting the truth about homosexuality and so on. But you know what? We were complimented. It's wherever we went, we were complimented on our three young boys, how well behaved they were, ages 5, 6, and 8. And that was pretty neat. In fact, it was more than, you know, we're proud of our kids, but it was so much, it made us think that Canadian young kids must really be terrors. But that was a blessing, and I would go out of my way to let people know, because people would say, oh, three. You know how you wonder if it's a liberal and they disapprove of having more than one kid or two at the max? So they'd say, oh, three, and I would go out of my way to say, I'd brag that, oh, Cheryl and I have seven kids, all boys. And, you know, sometimes you'd practically get a frown out of somebody when they hear seven kids. And I would try to press it into a conversation, as I always do. And if, you know, if this was somebody who said they'd only have one kid, one or two kids, I'd thank them for assuring conservatives future election wins. I thank them for that. And, of course, the liberals, they promote abortion, killing their own kids, promoting homosexuality, discouraging marriage, self-regulating their own procreation to a negative birth rate, and so on. So we conservative Christians, we should, do better as public opinion influences governmental policy, because the liberals are doing everything they can to annihilate themselves. Whereas we Christians, we follow the biblical mandate to fill the earth. And where liberals view children as a burden on the ecosystem, we view kids as a blessing from God. So we took the ferry from Vancouver to Vancouver Island to go to Victoria. And I came up with a number of questions on abiogenesis for an atheist during that ferry trip. So I'm going to test those out on TOL one of these days here on theologyonline.com. And then in Seattle, I spent a couple hours with an atheist physicist who's an evolutionist. And in fact, he's from theologyonline.com. His username there is The Phi, although he pronounces it Thuffy. Thuffy. I would have never thought of Thuffy. But The Phi, the physicist, and boy, did we have a great time. But there's no time to talk about that now, because we're just out of time in Denver. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you'd like to hear more, then you could subscribe to our Bob Enyart Live Bible Studies, our monthly videos, our sermons. For the Bible Studies, you get an entire album on audio tape or MP3 CD for $34.95 a month. Or you could get our videos or sermons every month mailed to you for just $24.95 a month. To subscribe, please call 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Or you could subscribe online at kgov.com. So check us out on the web at kgov.com for Bob Enyart Live. Welcome back to Bob Enyart Live and our telethon. Hey, we're doing well. $650 toward our goal of $15,000 in the very first show. And the phone number, 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So I was telling about our road trip, and I ended up in Seattle with this physicist, atheist from TOL, The Phi. And we had a wonderful time at a great restaurant on the pier on the waterfront, Elliot's. We just had a great time talking about science, and we both gave our arguments, his atheistic arguments and my arguments to show the existence of our creator God. It went very well. And then I get home, flew home to be at church Sunday, to be on time for church, being the pastor of the church. You know, I ask my wife, I say, give me three good reasons we should go to church today. And she says, well, first of all, you're the pastor. So I say, okay, well, that's a pretty good start. Well, I flew back to be at church on time, Denver Bible Church, and the blessing of all blessings, I walk into the church, And here are all these TOLers, all these people from TheologyOnline.com from all around the country. And so we've got two of them in the studio right now, Turbo and Polly. That's not your real names. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Hi, Bob.
Hey. Thanks for having us today.
You're very welcome, Tom. It's so good to have you. And Dee Dee, welcome to Colorado.
Thank you.
Here's a list of some of the TOL folks who are in Denver right now by their TOL names. I won't use their real names. We could, but.
Except for Cleet.
Except for Cleet. That is his real name. Turbo, that's you, Tom. Cleet, Narrow Way, that's Kevin. The Sibby, Death to Impiety, Lucky, Neo01, Ratitude, Wrestler Dude 16, and Polly. So, Dee Dee, Polly, why are all these TOL folks in Denver?
Well, we've been up here before and was able to meet some of the TOL people, and it's always fun. But there's others, you know, all over the country, and we thought it'd be neat, you know, periodically to try to meet up with some of them. And we'd wanted to meet Turbo and the Sibby for a long time now. Uh-huh. And even though Cleet used to live in the same town that we live in now and now lives just an hour and a half away from us, we've met him the first time. But anyway, we thought, well, this would be a great time for a lot of us to get together. So about 3 months ago, I called him up and I said, hey, guys, let's get together and let's do it in Denver. And so everybody seemed to be in agreement and thought it was a great idea. And so that was 3 months ago, and now here we are.
Well, that is so great. What a blessing. We've been able to spend a lot of time together Sunday, most of the day yesterday. So we'll talk about some of that. Now, Tom, you're Turbo on TOL. You are scheduled to start a battle royale, right? Now, there is some history in these battle royales on TheologyOnline.com, right?
Yeah, there's this one guy who's done two of them.
Oh.
His name is Bob Enyart.
Uh-oh.
And so they're pretty big shoes to fill.
You know, they were really fun. The two that I got to do were up to 11, right? This will be the 11th one that you'll do.
Yes.
The topic of yours is?
It's going to be, should Christians support the death penalty?
All right. What a great topic. Now, the two I did, Battle Royale 7 was Does God Exist? Against who? Polly, who was that I debated against?
Goodness, let's see. I believe it's been so long since I've seen him. Who was that? I think, I remember his name, Zaketh. That was
Zaketh.
His name.
Now, you're joking because he just sort of disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sort of copped out. But it was a TKO in the 9th round, I think. It was a lot of fun. And I think you can't dispute that, right?
No,
look it up. No.
He posted 8 times.
Yeah, in the 9th round, TKO. And people in the audience are saying, 7th round? No, it was in the 9th round. And that was a lot of fun. And that's become a rather popular debate online, and we sell a printout of it. This is now a few years later. And then Battle Royale 10 on the future. Is the future settled or open against a professor with D. James Kennedy's ministry? And that was a blast.
Do either of those opponents sell it?
Do they sell the debate?
Right.
No, but we do here at Bob and Your Life. We sell them both, and it's such a blessing. That's the funny thing. People who believe that God predestined everything, he must have predestined that we would win the debate against predestination and then sell it to convince more people that predestination is not true. It's sort of confusing.
So that starts September 18th is going to be Battle Royale 11 on the death penalty, and
okay.
It's going to be just 5 rounds.
And five rounds.
It's going to be I'm going to be supporting the death penalty, and another Christian named Theo Victus is going to be my opponent.
All right, great. And many Christians will say, well, I'm against the death penalty because this is the age of grace, and so you're going to deal with probably that and other arguments?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know every argument that's going to be made, but I have a feeling that that's going to come up, that now that we're in the age of grace, that the death penalty is no longer an appropriate punishment for murderers. And that we should be merciful instead.
And if somebody wants to follow that debate, where do they find it? How do they look for it on the internet?
The webpage is theologyonline.com. And once the debate is underway, you won't be able to miss it. There'll be links to it on the main page.
Mm-hmm. As TOL is run by Knight, who We consider TOL a ministry of Denver Bible Church because Knight and Lyon really started TOL, both as elders of Denver Bible Church. So it's such a blessing. And when a battle royale starts, Knight really does a great job directing everybody and building the excitement. And then it gets a lot of attention from people all around the web. In fact, I just looked to see how many posts are on TOL right now. You know, a lot of websites talk about hits or visits. Well, a post is pretty significant. That's where somebody takes the time to write a comment, put a question, ask for a prayer request, share a story. And there are 645,000 posts on TOL right now, over a half a million. That's a lot of posts from a lot of members. And in fact, I just did a shout on the homepage. I told Granite, hey, watch out, Granite. We're going to talk about you pretty soon. So let's get to him a little later. But okay, so that's Battle Royale 11 on the death penalty. Coming up when, Tom?
September 18th. That's going to be a week from this Monday.
September 18th. Okay, that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so Dee Dee, tell me a little about TOL and what it's like on there. I know you debate a lot of Christians of all different stripes and unbelievers.
I just think, well, I've said it before, many people have said it, it's like it's just about the best site online that you can go and get some great, not just the Battle Royales, but some other, you know, the Battle Royales are just one-on-one, very formal and regulated. Like you said, Knight does a good job, but there's also other threads where great debates happen, and the topics, hot topics usually there are abortion, homosexuality. Big topic is Calvinism. That's huge.
Calvinism, that everything is predestined.
That's right.
That God predestined a child molester exactly how to molest the little boy.
Right. Yeah. It's been fun. My my kids have really read a lot on the Calvinism debates here lately, particularly Ratitude, one of them you mentioned. And he asked me, oh, I don't know, about a month ago, he said, I want to know why it is that Calvinists punish their kids. Unfortunately, I was raised a Calvinist, and I can remember even the abortion issue, as sad as it is, many Calvinists will put that aside, thinking in the back
God's
of their
will.
Mind it's God's will, and so there's no fight in them to do it. But yet
there's no fight in them to try to stop the killing of unborn children,
right?
Because this is God's will that they're killed.
Right.
And so other Calvinists will say, well, it's also God's will that we try to stop it. But who can fight against God?
Right.
So it's such a confusing worldview.
But when it comes to their children,
yeah,
you know, why not have the same attitude there? You know, they have no doubt. It's in them. They have no doubt to punish that child for doing what they feel
is
that,
wrong.
That was predestined, though.
Yeah, and right.
So
why not realize that, you know, God predestined you to be rude to your mother?
Exactly.
Right.
So that's one of the great topics. Another one, like we mentioned, was homosexuality. One thing I want to know, now that I'm taking advantage of this time to talk to some of the TOL members, I want to know why it is that we get so many comments in threads started about homosexuality. We get a lot of members in there that will come in there and ask us, why are there all these topics about homosexuality? Why don't you guys start it? But, you know, in the abortion threads or in the death penalty threads and whatnot, I don't really know of many members who come in there and ask us that. So I'm wondering why it is that they're so concerned with stopping us about stopping these topics.
It's about homosexuality.
Exactly. And you know, some, they probably know who they are. They
Yeah. And the reason that homosexuality is such a topic is because it's one of the primary battlefronts today. Like in Colorado Springs, where these homosexuals are doing these TV, radio commercials, billboards, buses, showing a dog, this cute little puppy named Norman, who doesn't bark, he moos. And they're saying, hey, you know, people are born differently. And they show this cute little puppy to make homosexuality look wonderful. And, you know, we could show mass murderers like Charles Manson and say, born to kill. And then have moo, Norman, get out of here. Why are you criticizing people who murder? They're just born to murder. Child molesters, they're just born to molest children. Moo, and a little Norman mooing. You know, it's such a phony, bogus argument, but it's going to win over more and more, even Christians, because Christians have lost their way. They become moral relativist, and they're willing to tolerate anything as long as it's legal. And so those ads will be effective. So homosexuality is so popular because it's one of the main battles today.
Exactly. And just them coming in there and it bothering them more so, wanting us to stop talking about it, seems like more than other topics, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that should show them it's one of the forefronts, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's see. What else could we talk about here? Tom, you had mentioned to me when a Christian on TOL will say, you were thinking of one in particular, that she's pro-abortion.
Yeah. Just leading up to our vacation here, I was having a little bit of a back and forth with someone on TOL who was very, very much excited that Plan B is going to become available over the counter soon, and said that this is a defeat for all the woman haters out there. And this particular poster has at TOL, you when you register, you fill out a couple things about yourself, like what religion are you and where do you stand politically. And this person is, I think, a left winger, they said, but also a Protestant Christian. And this person was basically came right out and said, anyone who is anti-abortion hates women. And I pointed out to her that the largest women's organization in the nation is Concerned Women for America. And are they made up of a bunch of woman-hating women?
Right. What a great point to put out. And her logic is not logical. If you're against abortion because you hate women, so I guess people who were against slavery hate whites.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. It's just a non sequitur. And women are more pro-life than men by all the polls I've seen in a quarter century. Women are more pro-life because they are the ones who carry children, and they know that they have a baby that they're carrying.
Their baby communicates with them even in the womb. And they, you know, when my baby was in the womb a year ago, she's 11 months old now, but when she was in the womb, it was very exciting to be able to put my hand on my wife's belly and feel the baby react or kick and all that. But I can't even imagine what that would have been like for my wife.
Right. Well, Dee Dee can speak firsthand, right?
You can relate to that five times. Yeah.
Five times.
Yeah.
And is it true? It seems to me obvious from my observations with Cheryl and I that she is bonded to our kids way before I am.
Absolutely. I think the moment that you find out, and then sometimes I think there's even an intuition sometimes before you find out from the doctor, but there's just that bond starts very early. And I can remember numerous times being out in public or even at home, something loud falling on the floor and just they're jumping. They were scared.
The baby
and
in the
it's
womb.
This just think little things like that start this relationship way early.
Yeah.
You know.
So you feel like you have to protect the baby from a sudden noise.
Exactly.
When you're still carrying
my hands on my stomach. Oh no.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So okay, so the argument that if you're against abortion you hate women, that's falsified by the fact that millions of women are against abortion.
Right.
So okay.
And Bob, I need to know something also. Of course, as if I'm going to find out now, but maybe they can tell me online. But, you know, we get so many questions about you and what you think about something and why you did something and why you will or won't do something, and asking, why don't you have Bob do this or apologize for this? And I just don't understand why they don't call in themselves. I that just floors me. I'll never get that.
Right. Now, I did a shout on the shout box on TOL on the homepage, the very front page, saying, and I said, Granite, fair notice, Turbo and Polly are on BEL and will mention you. And because he complains, you know, hey, nobody told me I was mentioned on the show or whatever. So so he responded, delightful. Pauses to grab a helmet. So, all right. He might not need a helmet. Well, maybe he will need a helmet when we get done with him here. Well, yeah, so why don't people call in? I mean, people who have called in, think of Fool. Fool from TOL, the atheist. He calls in. We spend 2.5 hours or so on like 3-4 shows in a row
talking through with, I forget how much time, 2 hours, whatever it was.
It was four shows.
Four shows.
He has them on his link, on his signature.
Yeah. And and that's great. I'm thrilled that he does. That is unusual that he'd do it. I'm thrilled. He probably does it because he's he knows we'd use that argument. So good for him. He links to him. Hilston, when he called in, you know, we're as gracious and patient with these guys as I think anybody's ever been on radio when you got 50,000 watts and you take the time with people who utterly disagree with you and let them make their case. So I don't know why so many of these TOL, either liberals or atheists or evolutionists or whoever, why they won't call in.
Well, some of them have the expectation that you should come to TOL. Now, you do post there.
Now and then.
But you're not there every day like a lot of us are.
Right.
And sometimes there are several months where you're never there at all. And they come and say something expecting that you're going to respond. And then we tell them, call in, you know, because if you're looking for them here, you might be in for quite a wait.
Right.
You can call them five times a week. And most of them don't want to do that. Something about it being your turf or versus they think TOL is their turf. But
yeah,
really,
the deck is stacked
against them.
Some, you know, I'm thinking of one poster, well-known on TOL, who complained forever that I'm not going to call in because that's Bob's turf. Let him come here to TOL. So I go to TOL and I offer him a one-on-one on a topic that is his total forte, and he declines it. That cracked me up. That really cracked me up. After knowing all this time that he was complaining that he wouldn't come on my show, I have to meet him on TOL, and then he says no.
Right. In all fairness, Turbo's right. There are some that come, and they ask those questions of us concerning you, thinking that we should know, and they're kind of mixed up. But even when they're set straight, a lot of times they won't call in. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I mean, anybody who has called in with an opposing issue has to admit that you don't, you know, chew them up and spit them out. And it's a very gracious time that you spend with them.
Yeah,
so
at least
enjoyable.
You haven't done that for a few years now.
That's right. I think I've mellowed out a bit in my old age. You know, when we were on TV in 80 cities, five nights a week for an hour, that is such, just by accident, a huge audience from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida. There were so many atheists who watched and liberals and homosexuals and pro-aborts, and they would call in. The phone number's on the screen, the whole show, and they would call in, and it was rather dramatic fireworks. Now, liberals call in way less frequently, or just whoever that would disagree. So we encourage our listeners, if you know someone who disagrees with, you know, Bob Enyart Live on some issue, give him the number and encourage him to call in 5 o'clock Eastern.
Maybe we can get Granite to call in.
Yeah, 5 or 6 o'clock Eastern.
The reason we were talking about Granite before the show and thought he ought to get some warning that we were going to mention him is that recently, Bob, you had debated Granite on TOL. You must have spent several nights kind of going back and forth about Plan B and another, really any kind of birth control that you take that's works through hormones, you know, the pill and some other variations of that. Any of them can act as an abortifacient to a very young, recently conceived individual. It will stop them from being able to implant in the womb. And Granted, he's not a Christian, but he does claim to be pro-life. Yet he supports the use of the pill and Plan B, and basically he's pro-life once the baby is implanted. And so you went back and forth with him, and eventually actually got him to apparently change positions.
He admitted he overstated his position in one post, which I think was remarkable.
Right.
And then he said we need to err on the side of caution.
Right.
So I forget how he worded that. Do you remember?
It basically, just to read that post, it sounded like he was conceding the point that we should not be using these pills, that you know, even if there's some doubt, you know, we should err on the side of caution. And and I tried to get him to sort of clarify that and say, so have you changed positions?
He wouldn't really clarify.
He didn't really clarify, but no. The next time someone came on there, just you know, a week or two ago, after Plan B was
announced to be over the counter.
Right. He said something to whoever started
by
that
a
thread.
By a Bush nominee to head the FDA.
Right. He said something like, you know, grab your helmets, as because the person who was praising this decision, as if all of us pro-lifers are going to really come down hard. And, mm-hmm. and he was right. But I said to Granite, I said, well, won't you be on our side this time? Aren't you going to join us in the fight?
Yeah, error on the side of caution.
Right. And I quoted what he had just said a week ago.
Little living human being, right.
Right. And he said, I don't remember his exact words, but he listed all these various ways that he would rather mutilate himself than to side with you people, meaning people like me, Polly, Knight.
You mean he'd rather gouge out his eyes than agree with you?
Among other things, yes.
Yeah.
And so I pointed out something about
– so there's a hierarchy of his love for babies
right.
or living human beings and his hatred for Turbo.
Which trumps that.
That trumps his love for little living human beings.
Right. And then just a few days after that
– he said he would never agree with you.
Right. He doesn't want
he'd gouge out his eye before he'd agree with
you. At least not openly. If there's something where I'm posting and he agrees, he would rather remain silent.
Oh.
Well, than to publicly agree with me. He would cut off fingers and everything.
Granite, come on, Granite. Yeah, you know he's listening.
So a couple of days later, Knight and I were talking about how we like the Macintosh operating system better than Windows. And Granite chimes in to say that he hates Windows too.
So he agreed with you.
You're right. So his hatred for
Windows. I thought
he
would gouge out his eye before he agreed with you.
I guess his hatred for Windows and his love of Macintoshes trumps that, which then in turn trumps
his love for children. Give me the priorities. Give me Granite's priorities then.
He hates Windows.
That's number one.
He hates us.
He hates UTOLers.
He loves and wants to protect children.
He loves children.
Right.
So he won't agree with you on protecting children, but he will agree with you on hating Bill Gates.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so Granite, we figured you out. We have psychoanalyzed you. And all right, so that's pretty interesting. How about Hilston? Dee Dee, who is Polly. Recently, you posted a reply to Hilston and said, you just misspelled, I was wrong. Do you remember all that?
How much time do we have left?
Oh, no, we only have a minute. But you got – Hilston was arguing that we all misrepresent Augustine.
Right.
Because we say Augustine supported total immutability for God. And we point out that's wrong because God changed when God the Son became flesh. He took on the sin of the world. The Father poured out his wrath. He was raised from the dead. Those are all real changes.
Right.
And so we say Augustine was wrong when he supported total immutability. Hilston says, you, Dee Dee, misrepresent Augustine.
Even though I came back and I finally said that showed where Augustine says God is in no degree mutable. Those are Augustine's words.
God is in no degree
immutable. No degree. And all he said was, well, that means Augustine is just wrong.
So Hilston didn't admit that he was wrong.
Right.
Hilston, you got to spell it right. I was wrong.